Welcome to the Indestructible Wealth Podcast. This is the place where we help young entrepreneurs make, keep, and grow wealth that you can enjoy now and for years to come. I'm your host, Jack Gibson, a serial entrepreneur, founder of multiple seven and eight figure businesses and wealth building strategist. Each week, I'm going to share my tips, resources, and secrets to help you create a plan and build the life you've dreamed of.
All right. On this episode, we're going to be talking about investing into index funds. You know, if you follow any of the finance content creators that are on Instagram or TikTok, other than me, a lot of them are very, very heavily focused on investing into index funds, and for good reason. This is something that I wish that I had done back when I was 19, 20 years old and starting to earn, some cash, becoming profitable with my business. But I didn't because I didn't understand it. I didn't know how they worked. I didn't get it. And even though my economics professor, I never forget Dr. Kopic, I asked him about, what he does in investing. How does he kind of, focus on what does he invest into? And essentially he told me that just every single month, no matter what happens with the market, it goes up, it goes down, whatever, sideways, he doesn't care. He just buys the total market index. Instead of listening to the wise guy that understands finance and economics and how to invest, what did I do? I didn't do that. I went to a broker, gave him all my money. He invested it all into tech stocks that crashed and dropped in half. I made a couple mistakes, right? And I've talked about this on my platform before, where I invested a huge lump sum. I put all of my cash in and really didn't keep any cash back for emergencies or for projected living expenses. As I graduated from college, I didn't have any cash banked for that. So then when the market dropped, and it dropped really, really hard and fast in 2000 when the dot-com bubble burst, I had to sell a lot of these stocks, or pretty much sold all of them, to have cash to then live off of, because I was not a great investor. I was a poor investor. I didn't know what I was buying. I invested a huge lump sum, more than I could really afford. And then when the market dropped, I panic sold. I did everything wrong. So I'm going to teach you how to do everything right when it comes to investing into the market. And I think a great play here is index funds. Now, this is more of, I think, a fundamental baseline strategy. This is a long-term play. Investing into index funds is not going to help you to retire young, retire early, unless you do, invest huge amounts every single month. Then it's possible over a 10-year period, you could have accumulated an incredible nest egg. But more than likely, this is a 20 to 40 year type play. And it's a very good play, and I'll explain why. So what is an index fund? It's essentially you're buying a tiny piece of all stocks in the market, depending on the fund. And I'm going to give you a couple examples of funds that I really like, that I've researched, recommended to me by other people that are really, hyper focused into this particular investment strategy. An index fund is either a mutual fund or an exchange traded fund that has one simple goal. They want to mirror the market or mirror a large portion of it. There's some funds where, you're buying the entire market, pretty much all stocks that are publicly traded and listed on the stock market. And then you have others, such as the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ 100, and you're buying a large portion of the stock market, but you're not buying all of it. So in the S&P 500, you're buying the 500 largest companies. So with the S&P 500, that's the more representative of the total stock market index, or the total stock market, because you're buying in different sectors, whereas the NASDAQ is very tech heavy. Most of the tech stocks are going to be listed in the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ generally is going to be much more, a little bit more volatile. Tech stocks tend to run up faster, but they also tend to draw down quicker. As we've seen the past couple months, the NASDAQ has dropped, I want to say, almost 15 to 17%, whereas the S&P 500 has dropped around 9%. But what this investing in an index fund is going to do is gives you a more diverse portfolio than buying individual stocks. Essentially, what it all boils down to, you guys, this is the most important takeaway for you to really remember and dwell upon when you look at investing into an index fund, is that when you do, You're betting on America. You're betting on the American economy. You're betting on America to continue to grow over the long term. And of course, you understand that there's going to be ups and downs with America. You know, there's going to be times that the economy doesn't grow and it retracts. And then generally speaking, when that happens, the index funds are going to retract along with them. But if you're confident that America is going to continue to grow over the next decade, two decades and more, which I certainly am, and based on the last 100 years, it's a pretty good, solid bet moving forward that a bet on America is a great thing. Now, regardless of how you feel about what's happening in the country politically, regardless of however you feel about different things that are going on that you may or may not like how they're going down, I think it's really smart move to kind of put those feelings and those emotions aside as an investor and strictly look at the American economy over the course of a long stretch of time. I would say that over a long haul, it's a very, very good bet. So if you buy into an index fund, you got to have a decade or more type of thinking process where you're going to put the money in, let it do its thing, not check it daily, not worry about it. Just keep doing that over and over again. And over the long period of time, it's almost certain that you're going to be a winner. So what is an index fund in terms of relation to an actively managed fund? So I'm going to talk to you about the differences here, because this is really critical for you guys, I think, in your wealth building strategy to understand why an index fund is superior to an actively managed fund. So the objective of an index fund, their goal is to generate a return that's equal to the performance of the index or the stocks in that index that it tracks. Whereas an active fund attempts to outperform or beat the market. So an active fund is going to have a purchase inside its portfolio. An active fund may add stocks that are outside that index. Whereas an index fund has to hold the same stocks to the index that it tracks. Okay, so think of an index as just a collection or a basket of companies or stocks that are tracked. The cost is really the key difference here. So while an index fund is going to be very passively managed, index funds are managed essentially by a computer and an algorithm, and that's why it has much lower expenses than an active fund. Although it may not appear to be much in terms of savings, you know, 0.5% or less is typically the ongoing fee for an index fund versus a mutual fund, which can have 1-2%, even higher. And those fees over the course of time create an enormous drag or a reduction in the performance of an investment. So when I was looking at the difference between the two, if all things being equal, if you had two investors put the same amount into an index fund and one put the same amount of money repeatedly, you know, over a course of, you know, say 3 decades into a mutual fund, that extra 1% fee created several $100,000 in difference between the two's, you know, performance, between the returns and the profitability. It's a staggering amount. What most people that invest into mutual funds, they're not factoring in how much those fees, it doesn't seem like much, 1%, 2%. When you look at that, you're like, oh, that's not much. How's that really going to make any difference? I'm paying that fee for somebody to professionally manage my money. Well, the bottom line is 90% of all mutual funds do not actually beat or outperform the total market. So you're overpaying for underperformance. I don't think anybody that goes to buy anything wants to overpay for underperformance, right? Whether it be any type of service or buying a product or buying an investment. So who are index funds really for? They're really for investors who want to create wealth over the long term with equities, you know, with stocks. But they're skeptical, and rightly so, of the role of fund managers and their fees. So the advantages, what are the advantages of index funds? So there's five main ones that I have that there's definitely more than here, but I think these are the most important ones. So number one, it creates a diversified portfolio that is automatically done for you in one simple step. Essentially, all you do, your one simple step, is to buy. When you buy the total index fund, automatically your money is spread out for you across the board of many different stocks and companies. So it reduces the volatility of buying individual stocks. So you're going to have a much more diversified portfolio. So you're not going to have quite the dramatic downswings, or you're not going to have quite the dramatic upswings either. It has much lower fees than mutual funds or hedge funds, drastically lower than hedge funds. There's a famous bet with Warren Buffett. He challenged any hedge fund for $1 million bet. Can you imagine that? Your $1 million bet, right? He challenged them that over a course of a decade, that there was no hedge fund manager, minus their fees that they charged, that could actually outperform the market. There was one guy who took them on, and he conceded after year seven. He said, I can't win. I concede. So he ended up funding a charity. So the $1 million didn't go to Buffett, but it went to the charity of Buffett's choice. But yeah, isn't that interesting? Only one hedge fund manager was even willing to take on that bet. I mean, you would think that they'd be so confident in their skills and in their abilities that they would jump on that bet as easy money, right? The advantage, it's extremely passive. You know, the only decision that you need to make is how much to fund each month. And if you set it up automatically, then you've only made that decision one time. You know, maybe periodically you review and look at increasing, you know, your amount that you're funding. I don't generally recommend decreasing the amount that you're funding unless you are very, very confident of the other place that you want to place those funds. But generally speaking, it's a real sit it and forget it type investment. So as I've already said, you know, most professionals, they 90% of them cannot beat the market. I want to keep stressing that. Make sure I drive that point home to you guys over and over again, because it's a very important part of this. I feel the disadvantages to this is much lower than the overall advantages, but there is one primary disadvantage that you need to be aware of. It's so diversified that you have almost no chance of outsized gains. You know, it's almost impossible for the stock market to go up 10x, you know, inside of a year or 2 years, or generally speaking, very unlikely to do that over even a decade or two decades. So you've diversified yourself to the point to where your returns are going to be much lower than if you were to pick individual stocks and make the right picks. So that's one very big disadvantage. Other disadvantage, and this is generally speaking a disadvantage to investing into the market, is that they have short-term price drops that are very normal in the stock market. As I alluded, we've recently, over the last couple months, seen a pretty significant sell-off, you know, 9% correction, you know, or almost double-digit drop is certainly a significant drop in the stock market. So in order to be able to overcome those types of drops, you must be continually investing over multiple years. And you want to take advantage of dollar cost averaging. The other thing that I didn't even think about as a potential disadvantage is that there's tracking errors. So even though index funds aim to mirror the market, the returns are generally, for some of these, are marginally lower. Now, marginally means very slightly lower, but this does happen than the index that they track. And that's due to multiple factors. And one of those is cash sitting on the books that's actually not invested into the market. Now, if it's a good fund, the money is generally, the cash is not sitting idle on the sidelines. But this is part of the slight drag that you're going to see when you do invest into an index fund. So what are the recommended funds? I have two. I want to keep this simple for you. Too many options, I think, creates paralysis by analysis, as they say. So the two funds that I recommend is the Vanguard Total Stock Market Fund, which the symbol is VTSAX. The simple is important because when you go to look up a stock in your brokerage account, generally speaking, you're going to look for it or search for it by the symbol. So it's usually a symbol is a shortened version of letters that signifies or represents that particular stock for that company. The Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund has 4,156 stocks in it as of right now. So this is a very, very diversified fund, and it's buying almost all of the stocks that are currently publicly traded in the stock market. And the expense ratio is very low. It's only 0.04%. Generally speaking, you're not going to get too much lower than that as far as an expense ratio goes. There are some that potentially go a little bit lower, but very negligible. The top four stocks, to give you an idea, so not all the stocks in a index fund are weighted equally. In terms of what I mean by that is there's going to be some stocks that are going to be a higher percentage of the total holdings that are inside of that basket of stocks. For example, Total Stock Market Fund, the number one position is Microsoft. Well, that's a great company to own. I'd be proud to own that company. That's a very solid and stable and company that just produces cash like an ATM, thousands of ATM machines, right? The percentage is 5.30%. So out of the total, say 100% of the investment, 5% of that fund is invested into Microsoft. That leaves a lot of these other stocks to have, some of them probably have less than 1% or even less than 0.5% or even less than that, right? So then Amazon is number two at 3.22%, Tesla's number three at 1.96%, and Google's number four at 1.83%. Just right there alone, you have over 10% of the total Vanguard fund is invested into those four companies. And those are great companies, right? Those are companies that we would all be proud to own, love to own. We all use their products and services more than likely for all four of those. I can look at these and say, yes, I have Microsoft products. I've used them many times over the years. I have Amazon arriving at my doorstep every single day. I own a Tesla. I love Tesla. I think that we're going to see more and more products from Tesla that are going to be, you're going to be using in your everyday life as well. And then all my searches are on Google, right? So these top four, I utilize almost on a very daily basis. The minimum investment to get started in this fund is $3,000. You need that in order to essentially get started. And then after that point, once you've made the minimum investment, you can invest in smaller increments. The second fund that I recommend is VFIAX. It's the S&P 500. And you guessed it, this is a basket of 500 stocks. So this is typically the top 500 stocks in the market by market cap. So this also has the same low expense ratio as the Vanguard fund. It's only 0.04%. The top four stocks in this are a little bit different. It's Apple is number one with almost 6%. Microsoft is the second with almost 6%, 5.62. Amazon is third at 4%, and Facebook is fourth at 2.29%. So almost 16%, 17% of the total S&P 500 VFIAX fund is invested just into those four stocks. Apple's a company that I'd be very proud to own. I use Apple products every single day. I have an iMac, I have an iPhone, I have an iPad, I have multiple iPhones in our house. Actually, we have six. I have tons of Apple products, right? Same with Microsoft, Amazon again, and then Facebook. Obviously, we utilize that. We're on it quite every day. I run ads through Facebook. Although, I don't like what Facebook does in terms of censoring what people post. I've seen a lot of my friends, people that I know that have posts that have been taken down or banned, or that they've been in Facebook jail for a week or even longer for things that they've said. I don't like or agree with censoring free speech. Of course, if there's any hate or very derogatory type comments, I would like those to be censored. But other than that, I do not feel that our speech should be censored. So I need to separate those emotions, right, from my desire to grow my portfolio as an investor. And Facebook is certainly a solid company that I'd be semi-proud to own, as I've kind of previously described why. And the minimum investment is $3,000 for this fund as well. So which one do I like between the two? Well, you know, I don't really have a strong opinion. As you can see, you know, you're more diversified in the total stock market fund because you have the entire market. So that means that your returns are going to be probably a little bit lower, although the downside is going to be a bit lower as well. So you're going to have a little bit less volatility. I don't think it's going to be by a lot. You know, you have 500 stocks versus over 4,000 stocks, the 500 that are in the S&P 500. You know, you're going to have a little bit more upside potential, but a little bit more downside potential as well. But I don't think that's a significant difference. So it really depends on, you know, your personal desire to own the entire market or, you know, the top 500 stocks that are in the market. So how do you get started? Very simple. You open up an online brokerage account if you don't already have one. A lot of you probably have one, you know, like a TD Ameritrade account, Charles Schwab, Robinhood, which I don't like at all. That's probably a totally separate podcast, but I like Fidelity. I did research and Fidelity came up at the top and I've been very happy. The simplicity and all the features that are available inside of this brokerage account. So you just go to fidelity.com. And click on open an account. It's very simple to set up an account. Once you've opened your account, you need to connect your bank account to your brokerage account. So you'll enter in all your checking account, your bank information in there. Very simple to do. That connection allows you to transfer funds from your checking account into your Fidelity brokerage account. So step three is that once you have that connected, it usually takes a couple of days because they need to verify your checking account, and there's typically a couple business days that takes. Once that's verified and connected, then you'll just transfer the cash from your checking account that you want to invest into the market to your brokerage account. And then step four is you're going to purchase either the suggested index funds by clicking trade and then enter in the symbol. And again, the symbols are VTSAX or VFIAX. I recommend step five to set it up automatically. There's a lot of reasons why, but I'm going to cover the top four reasons that you want to auto invest. Number one is the most important, which is called dollar cost averaging. What this essentially means is that instead of investing a very large lump sum amount all at once, you're going to invest smaller amounts consistently over a longer period of time. This dollar cost averaging helps you take advantage of market drops. So then you're able to buy when the market drops, you're able to buy shares at these lower prices. And it also helps smooth out the volatility that you'd have, the big up and down price swings in your account. It's going to help you to smooth out that volatility by spreading out your picks over the course of time. The second reason to auto invest is less stress. You don't have to think about it. You don't have decision fatigue, you know, that tiredness that you get when you have too many decisions that you need to make too often. It also takes the stress out of any decision making in terms of emotionally, do I feel like I want to do this month? Do I not? Did I forget to do it? Oh my God, I forgot. The market just dropped. Should I invest? I don't think I should. The market's tanking. It takes all that stress out of your life and it just automates the decision-making process, which studies have shown investors are more successful when they do it this way. Third reason, out of sight, out of mind. So your funds are just transferred automatically from your checking account each month. Again, you don't think about it. The money's just thrown into your brokerage account, it automatically purchases those index funds. And it just, again, takes that decision process out of your hands. And then the fourth thing is the lack of discipline that we all have, right? If we are left to our own devices to where every single month on the same date or even the same week that we would need to remember and then go log in and then purchase this, you know, the shares and transfer the money and do all the manual steps that it would take, we're probably not going to do it. We're going to miss some months and we could definitely be missing some great buying opportunities when the market drops. You know, I told the story on this platform, but I'll remind you about it as well. When I went to do my charitable giving, you know, we were manually writing checks. And I know that dates me a little bit. You're like, what the heck's a check? Venmo. It's only Venmo. I only know Venmo or PayPal, right? But I'd be manually writing checks, you know, put them in the offering bucket. And I was very inconsistent. I lacked the disciplines to be able to remember to write the check each month, you know, and do it. I'll sometimes lack the discipline emotionally. I didn't want to give that month. Maybe my business wasn't doing as well. Something was negative was going on. I wasn't feeling in the charitable mood. Well, once I automated that charitable giving, I have yet to miss a month going on almost 3 years. So it entirely takes out the lack of discipline that you may have. So what are the steps to set up automatic investing? Well, number one, the prerequisite alert, as I've mentioned, you must already put in the minimum $3,000. Number two, once you do that, you're going to log into your Fidelity account. So you already have to have the $3,000 minimum investment purchased in either of these two funds. So then once that's done, then you'll log into your Fidelity account. You'll click on transfers, which is under accounts and trade. You'll click on manage automatic investments, and then you'll see a question, where do you want to invest the money from? So you'll select external bank account right there. And then you set the date you want the automatic withdrawal from your bank account. You'll enter the symbol for the index fund when you're prompted and click confirm, and presto, your money is going to be debited from your checking account on that same day every month automatically, and inside your brokerage account, it's going to automatically purchase those funds once the funds are cleared into your brokerage account. Presto, boom. You're now a disciplined investor because you made one decision for the next several years. Again, I would strongly urge you to take a percentage of your total investable dollars, put it into the total stock market index fund. I don't recommend personally doing all of your investment dollars into an index fund, as you all are very clear by now if you've watched my videos and, you know, all of the things that are on my platform. I strongly recommend asset allocation, but I do believe, as far as in stock market play, that having some of your money in a total stock market index and then having some of your money in individual stocks that research shows that they could potentially go up 10x, 20x or more. I want to have exposure to some of those really great trends, those really great companies that are early stage that could really make some incredible strides in growth over the next decade. I don't want you guys putting all your eggs in one basket, even inside of the stock market. We want to make sure that we've set ourselves up to have great stability and fundamentals with an index fund, and then take some swings for the fences with some, you know, well-researched early stage, early, you know, high growth type opportunities that can really make some incredible strides, like some of the ones that I've already outlined. Hope this helps. Let's get going. This is very easy for you guys to do, and it's very easy for you not to do. But right now, with the market having dropped, this is a very perfect time to buy in. Will the market drop some more? I have no idea. Nobody really knows. Very possibly could. If that happens, put it in and forget about it. Don't let the swings of the market set yourself up for doing something dumb like stop investing or waiting for the market to drop even more. That's never going to work because it's incredibly difficult to be able to time the market, time the dips. So just keep buying, keep investing. And over the long haul, you're going to be very happy that you did. I wish that I had done this starting at age 19, like I said. Wow, I'd be incredibly more wealthy than I am. But at least you guys can learn from me and do what I wish I would have done, but you guys can do it right now. So take action. Let's go. That's a wrap for this episode on the Indestructible Wealth Podcast. If you'd like to dive deeper into your own wealth building strategy, check us out at myindestructiblewealth.com and follow along on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and yes, even TikTok. Send me your questions and your financial challenges, and I promise I'll respond. Also, I'll think you're really awesome if you'll share and leave me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, remember our mission here is to help you make, keep, and grow wealth you can enjoy now and for years to come. Years to come.